ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 86 एंटाइटल अर्जुना किडनैप सुभद्रा। यू आर ऑन द टेक्स्ट 2 एंड 3। विल रिसाइट द टेक्स्ट 2। श्रीशुक उवाच अर्जुनस्तीर्थयात्रायां पर्यटन अवनिं प्रभो गता प्रभासन आश्नोनन् मातुलेयीं स आत्मना। श्रीशुक उवाच अर्जुनस्तीर्थयात्रायां पर्यटन अवनिं प्रभो गता प्रभासम आश्नोनं मातुलेयीं स आत्मना। श्रीशुक उवाच अर्जुनस्तीर्थयात्रायां पर्यटन अवनिं प्रभो गता प्रवासम आश्नोनन् मातुलेयीं स आत्मना।
श्रीशुक उवाच अर्जुनस्तीर्थयात्रायां पर्यटन अवनिं प्रभु गतप्रभाशम आश्रोनोन् मातुलेयीं स आत्मना।
माताजी टेक्स्ट्री दुर्योधनाय रामस्तां दास्यतीति न चापरे तल्लिप्सु सयतिर्भूत्वा त्रिदंडी द्वारकामगात्। वट वर्ड श्रीशुक उवाच शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड अर्जुन तीर्थ टू होली प्लेसेस यात्रायाम while on pilgrimage paryatan wandering Avanim, the earth, Prabhu, the great Lord, Gata, having gone, Prabhasam, to Prabhas, Ashnot, heard, Matuleyim, uncle's daughter, Sa, he, Atmana, his, Duryodhanaya, to Duryodhana, Ramah, Lord Balram, Tam, her, Dasyati, intends to give, Iti, thus, Na, not, Cha, and, Apare, anyone else, Tat, her, Lipsu, desirous of obtaining, Saha, he, Arjuna, Yati, a sannyasi, Bhutva, becoming, Tridandi, carrying a triple staff, Dwarakam, to Dwaraka, Agat, went. Translation and purport by the disciple of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, while traveling far and wide, visiting various holy places of pilgrimage, Arjuna came to Prabhas. There he heard that Lord Balaram intended to give his maternal cousin Subhadra to Duryodhan in marriage, and that no one else approved of this plan. Arjuna wanted to marry her himself, so he disguised himself as a renunciate, complete with a triple staff, and went to Dwaraka. Purport. Arjuna's plan for obtaining Subhadra as his wife may have seemed unconventional, but he was not acting without encouragement. In fact, Lord Krishna was his prime co-conspirator, and in Dwaraka, most of the members of the royal family, especially Vasudev, were unhappy about giving their favorite daughter to Duryodhana. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganarugunathamvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vithamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Mrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Brasha Krupa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, before starting, begging for the mercy of an empowerment from the all my Shiksha Gurus and assembled Vaishnavas for attempting to discuss some Krishna Katha. So, one time, as I heard, there was a Buddhist monk who had come to our temple, And he happened to see that diorama of Lord Narsingadev killing Hiranyakashipu. And aside was Prahlad. So he was like very curious to know what is this diorama is. And he was very shocked to see when he learned that this young boy is guarding someone who doesn't look like, you know, who doesn't look like a normal figure. So he was like, and what he was doing, when he later he came to know that this this person was doing, what he was doing is that is he has a dead body in on his lap, and actually that dead body is nothing but he killed, and there was all bloodshed around. So it was like a murder plot. And moreover, when he understood that the corpse is of the boy's father, and more he shocked when he understood the boy is having such a reverential attitude towards this, the murderer of his father. So he was completely bewildered. So this can become like a big news, you know. This can become in the today's world, if you know, if he just describes it in this way, this can become a big news and a bigger conspiracy theory. News media will have this topic, and with the flashing all animations, there will be big debates and video goes virals, and Twitter will fill with all statements and counter statements. What if it is revealed that it belongs to our tradition and we worship it? I think the leftist will have the nationwide agitations. And what if we say that the boy is very advanced and we are supposed to follow him? He is a Mahajan, he is a Prahlad Maharaj. And that murderer is nothing but our worshipable Lord, Supreme Lord. Then you will get a shock of shock. So, this is, in the eyes of the world, it looks like very, this is like a immorality. This they can't digest it. But we will see it. Like the today's pastime, Arjuna kidnapping Subhadra, it also looks like something this. When I was describing this pastime, it looked like this is like a movie plot. A hero comes, he likes a heroine, but that heroine is supposed to get married with somebody else. That somebody becomes a villain. So he does a so his younger brother does a conspiracy with this hero, and then he disguises himself and abducts a heroine. So this really looks like a movie plot. So no wonder the adventure and the excitement in this world has the origin from the spiritual world. But what is the difference? That's what we are going to discuss today. What is the difference between this mundane things and the pastimes of Lord and his devotees? So today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, we'll try to discuss upon spiritual life or devotional service is beyond the mundane logical view, psychological view, and the moral view. Then we'll discuss about what is a beyond morality. What we call it that, what is that beyond morality? What is the basis of such a morality? We'll go through some examples, and we'll try to understand how can we apply, and where do a sadhaka stands, or what he can learn from it. So spirituality or the spiritual life is beyond morality, logic, and psychology. Logic or logical, in the sense we accept something that which is appears sensible to our intellect. That is, we accept as a logical view. So when we hear some apparent contradictions in Leela, in the scriptures, then a logical mind, a logical logic is a faculty of intelligence. So logical person, a logician, will disregard it as a illogical and he will reject it. But this is because we limit ourselves to a logic, to a logical view. But in modern times, we try and analyze, there are many, we design a lot of systems and processes. There will be a lot of systems and processes we design, we work out. But do these processes which are designed for certain purpose, some processes has been designed for certain purpose, do they work? People, we heard many times people saying it, logically this should work. But the practically is something far different. Logically on pen and paper, the equations are made, everything is categorized and this should work out. But actual practice is something else. So logicians most of the times hovers on the some plane, very apart from the reality. So one time, her husband, he was a logician, a programmer. She said, from the neighboring shop, please buy some bread. And if they have bananas, buy six. So this, a programmer husband, he goes to the neighboring shop and comes back after 10 minutes with the six loaves, six bread packets. So the wife says, when asked, why did you bought six? And he replies, because they had bananas. So he actually follows like a logical. If they had bananas, then buy six. What? Bread. So sometimes even when we hear or we read Newton's experiment and we carry out, we understand it theoretically on pen and paper that G, gravitational acceleration, has a value, G is equals to 9.8 meters per second square. By logic we understand it. But when we actually try to do an experiment, it is far beyond the reality. It doesn't get to 9.8. And sometimes even it comes to the three decimal places. Three digit before the decimal. So even in the material circle, we can't just rely upon the logical view. So what to speak of spiritual? Logic has certain importance in the spiritual life. Like initially, for building up our initial conviction or the faith, we may have to use the logic. But to limit everything to the logic is wrong. And another view is a psychological view. What is the psychological view is? Logic is like an intellect's faculty, logic, and psychology is an emotional faculty of the mind, wherein everyone wants to have a higher level of satisfaction and the lower level of depressions. So they want to have a comforting mindset. Why? Because they are distressed because of loss of something or not gaining what they expected. So that's why they want to comfort themselves with certain emotions. So many times, actually, this is like an arthartic category. So many times the distressed people come to the Krishna consciousness, hearing the first lectures like a stress management or positive attitude, so on and so forth. But why they are looking forward to the spirituality is just comforting their emotions. That could be a good way to begin in the Krishna consciousness. But what if someone just remains at this level? An example often quoted by Gaur Gopal Prabhu and Gopinath Chandra Prabhu. Let's say a child, a one year old child, when he starts first time saying, Papa, Mama, everyone becomes so jubilant. The parents become so jubilant, they call up their relatives at the distance place and they say, my child has started saying, Papa, Mama. They become so jubilant, so happy they are. But what if after the 2 years, 5 years, if he just starts speaking Papa and Mama and nothing else, will they be jubilant? Surely not. They will not at all be jubilant, rather they will be even more distressed. They will be aggravated in the pain, there is something wrong with the child. Right? He should advance, he should speak more. Right? So they will take him to the doctor and want to diagnose, because it is a disease. So problem with the psychological way is we look forward or we don't seek advancement, we want to comfort ourselves and we remain at that level. we should advance and go ahead. Psychological way, they look forward the spirituality or the God as a tool for comforting themselves in the material world. So it is still bringing us, it is still bringing the spirituality to the material phenomena. So that is something goes wrong. So the logic which is, we can't bind the logic for the Lord and spirit. So if you consider the material world is like a dream. Let's say in a dream, someone may be enjoying in a Swiss hotel, everything is at his fingertip. But after all, it is a dream, right? In a dream, we may fantasize many things, but it is a dream. Like one time, a young man goes to a fortune teller and he asks, so the fortune teller asks, what do you want? He says, I want to become a great writer. He says, so the fortune teller asks, how will you define a great writer? And he says, a great writer means when I write something, the whole world should read it. That they, when they read that, they should react it with the emotions. They should scream, they should cry, they should howl, they should wail. They should feel the desperation and anger. So the fortune teller, are you sure? And he says, yes. Then fortune teller says, okay, so be it. And then he starts working for the Microsoft Windows, writing the error messages. Makes the people cry and scream. So, dreams are dreams. It is away from the reality. So the logical mindset, a logician, he is also dreaming. Let's say he is dreaming and in his dream, he is thinking about a sun. He is dreaming, but in the dream, he doesn't find sun. So he concludes, there exists no sun. And a psychological view is someone who sees sun in his dream. And so, he wants to continue his dream because he is seeing sun. Don't want to come out of the reality. But both these people, logician and a psychological person having this view, both are in their dreams. They are away from the reality. Reality is there is actual sun existing. Right? So, both are unaware that the God exists. A logicians keep on denying the God, right, by his logical ways. So many pastimes, right, that come across that logic doesn't give explanations. So sometimes someone was sharing that in the episode of Lord Vamandev, so somebody asked the question, when the Vamandeva expanded, where was he standing? Now this you can't explain in a logical way, right? You have to enter into the Leela and understand the mood. You can't explain where was Lord Vamandeva standing and how did he cover the whole planets. So logic may deny the God. It doesn't exist. Like he doesn't see the sun in the dream and that's why he concludes the sun doesn't exist. Whereas psychological, he may accept a God, but he's just accepting the God for comforting his feeling. And that's why he continues his dream. Want to continue. Both are on the material plane. But only when somebody comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness, comes in contact with the Bhakti Yoga, he awakens from the dream. He experiences that Krishna's connection and experiences that sweet and the deep Krishna Leela. So material, then when he starts experiencing Krishna consciousness so sweet and so deep, then these material things start appearing him as a very still. So when somebody gets such an experience, then he stops rejecting God as illogical, and then he stops rejecting the God as just a psychological comforting tool. Right? That's what the Bhakti Yoga can does. Now initially, we may use logic, we may need a logic to establish our initial convictions, initial faith. We may need psychological ease for continuing on the path. If we get dejected by some temporary failures, we may need that psychological emotions to be supported. But we should understand, we cannot reduce spiritual life, devotional service to this logical and the psychological view. And the third part is, spirituality is beyond the moral view. This is which the main point of discussion for today. So the moral view is a behavioral aspect. Moral view has a basis of dharma, which defines what is good and what is bad, and what you should accept, how you should accept good and act wisely. Now, Krishna may be seen sometimes as acting in an immoral way or conspiring something which is immoral, like in these past times. When I first read Bhagavad Gita and when came across the third chapter, the section of setting an example, wherein Lord Krishna gives an example of Janak Maharaj following, setting an example for others to follow. And then Lord Krishna says, I don't have any duties, but I carry out all duties perfectly well to set an example. I was like little taken aback. Setting an example, is Lord Krishna exemplary? In general, we know he doesn't transgress these scriptural injunctions, he doesn't transgress the dharma or the duties. But what about stealing the butter? There are many pastimes wherein his pastimes of on the battlefield or with the gopis doesn't conform with the path of Shastras. So is he immoral? We'll understand it as an example. Like a morality, if we consider it as like a lamp, we need a lamp when we travel through a dark place, in the night, in the forest. We need a lamp to find the way. But when there is a sunrise, will we need the lamp? Surely not. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives this example and says that this lamp is like this moral principles which shows the way. And the Krishna is like that supreme sun. When there is a supreme sun, we don't need a lamp, right? We need a morals for what? To find the paths, because there is a dark everywhere. We are in this deep dark well. We want to protect ourselves from our selfish desires, and that's why we need a moral principles. But with this torch, we can point to the sun, and we can't evaluate the sun, right? When somebody is self-realized, that means he comes into the sunshine of Lord Krishna, in the purview of Lord Krishna. He doesn't need then these moral principles to bother. He understands. So Krishna may be seen as a acting adharmic way or actually transgressing these morals, but actually he is not transgressing these morals. This is called as spiritual morality. So there is a mundane morality and there is a spiritual morality. He is acting for good of everyone, and his leelas are driven by purely love. Now other religions, they can't accept the Lord as a butter thief. They say you are worshipping a immoral god who steals the butter. But a devotee understands it well. So one of the devotees I know, he wrote on his hand, Mera Bap Chor Hai. No, he wrote, Mera Bap Makhan Chor Hai. A devotee understands it better. That is Krishna's pastimes. It's Krishna's leela. So while Lord has to steal, something like a butter, Krishna doesn't need a butter, but he doesn't need of anything. He owns everything. He is a Lakshmipati. But why he does this kind of leela is to enhance the loving reciprocations with his devotees. To enhance that love. That's why he does. So the love stands higher. With an example we can understand this. Let's say an ignorant man, a villager, he comes to the hospital. He doesn't know what is the surgery. He doesn't know what the surgeon is. He sees a surgeon with a knife. He's cutting somebody's stomach. So he gets a shock, because he knew only that knife is being used by some, you know, such a kind of sharp knife is being used by robbers to rob somebody or murderer. So he correlates that he is murdering. He goes back and tells to his relatives that your relative, that, you know, that person is murdering him. And he gets a they say, come on, shut up. And he gets a shock. Why is his relatives are not understanding this? And later when the doctor comes out of the OT, and then these relatives are thanking him, and they are paying him the money, then he becomes, this villager becomes very bewildered. What he could think is, this is a conspiracy, this is a scandal, that these relatives want to kill that patient, and that's why they are like giving this money. And that's what the external view of any pastimes could be. Maybe it be the Lord Narasimhadeva, or maybe this Leela. So by external means, we understand this could be a conspiracy or scandal. Knife in the hand of murderer and in doctor is different. If someone doesn't know, he doesn't know what the surgeon is, right? He saves the life of person. He can't understand the action. So first we need to understand the personality. When we understand who that person is, what is that personality, then we can judge the action. So till that villager doesn't understand the position of that person, he can't understand the action of that person. So janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvata. So Krishna's lila may be entertaining. Janma karma cha me divyam, it may be entertaining. It many people cherish Krishna's lila, and they say natkat hai kanaiya. They say it, that it is very these lilas are very entertaining. But this lila will not elevate somebody unless they understand him tatvata. Evam yo veti tatvata. Unless they understand it as it is. Right? So, Krishna doesn't reject any dharma. Rather, Krishna, dharma is enacted by Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. God is absolutely good eternally. And whatever the God does, actually he is the one who is the giver of the good. And whatever he does is good. Rather, he doesn't reject the dharma, he transcends the dharma. And so is his devotees. So Krishna's position, we should understand, he is the supreme positions, and he can't be bind with these morals. These morals are for us, for our selfish desires to control. He is bound by love, and he exhibits this love in his leelas. So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he defines the leela means what? He says that leela means God in his own abode hides its godhood. God in his own abode hides his godhood. That is a leela. He hides his godhood for what? To have a loving reciprocation, loving pastimes with his devotees. So Krishna plays a drama, performing certain pastimes. Why? To experience that bhakti emotion in a more intense and more ecstatic way. So love stands higher than this mundane morality, and this is called as spiritual morality. Of course, morality cannot be minimized. Morality is always better than being immoral. But spiritual morality, we should know, stands higher, because it talks about the loving reciprocations, or it enhances our love for Krishna. And that's why he stands higher than the morality. By our moral principles, we can't understand Lord Krishna. So what is the qualification to understand him? Or how do we understand the spiritual morality? So the only qualification we have, Krishna says, is Bhakto Sime Sakha Cheti Rahasyam Hi Etit Uttamam. So Bhakto Sime Sakha Cheti, by bhakti we can understand. Rahasyam, this is a good, this is like a confidential knowledge. Krishna will not allow anybody to enter into his pastimes, to understand his pastimes. That's why it's Rahasyam. Hi Uttamam. Uttamam means which will bring us from this ignorance of this material world and raises us as Uttamam. Tama is ignorance. Uttamam means which is raises us from this ignorance to the platform of Leela and the love of Supreme Lord. Right? So Krishna is infinite. A finite being like us, living entities, cannot understand this infinite. only way to understand him is when he reveals himself to us. When infinite reveals himself to the finite, that's the only way. And that infinite reveals this way in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhakto si me sakha cheti. He reveals this his way is bhakti. Bhakti is the way to understand this spiritual morality. So what is the basis of this spiritual morality? How can we differentiate between a mundane morality and a spiritual morality? So Gaurang Prabhu, he quotes, Karma Yoga is about the action. It is about the hard work. Jnana Yoga is about knowledge. To acquire knowledge or being a pandit. Ashtanga Yoga is about the skills, perfection, expertise in some things. That's about the Ashtanga Yoga, some siddhis. But by doing a hard work, if somebody is doing a hard work, can it be called as a bhakti? Someone who is a knowledgeable, just being knowledge, he's a vidwan, he's a pandit in the shastras. But can it be a devotional service? Or someone is very expert in carrying out some skills. He has very expertise in some skills. Can it be termed as a bhakti or bhakti yoga? Actually, it is not. That one factor which can make this thing into a bhakti yoga or devotional service is intentions. Intention to please and to serve Krishna. That makes a difference. That makes a difference between a mundane morality and the spiritual morality. So, whether we have a intentions to serve and a please Krishna. However the service could be, it may not be very hard. You may not able to do, somebody may not be able to do a very big service. But if his intention is to please Krishna, then that is a bhakti yoga. Like in a Ramayana, in a tiny squirrel, to build a bridge, right? She also contributed. But what was her contribution? Some small particles, some stones, which are very negligible compared to the huge bridge. But the intention of that squirrel is to serve, to please Lord Ramachandra. That's why she is contributing. So Lord Ramachandra is pleased even with the squirrel as much as he is pleased with some monkeys, the big, big giant monkeys who was taking the big, big stones and rocks. He is even pleased with the squirrel also. What matters is not the amount of service somebody does. What matters is not someone who has a lot of knowledge. Or what matters is not that someone who is expertise or skilled. What matters is the intention to love and to serve Krishna. So that makes a difference. So spiritual morality is about the intention to please Krishna. Act may appear the same, like an immoral act and the spiritual moral act may appear the same, right? For an example, if somebody, a young girl or a young boy, he leaves the home, right? He leaves the home and get married because he wants to get married to some boy or girl somewhere, right? And the parents are not agreeing. It is not a social custom. They are not agreeing to that marriage. So he leaves home. Will that be accepted? Somebody leaving a home, will that be accepted socially? No. At least few years back, as I know, it was like a blot on the family that his boy, his son or the daughter ran away from the home. Right? They fled from the home. But if you understand, Yagik Patnis or the gopis, they did the same. They ran from the home. Did not care to come back. When the brahmanas, the Yagik brahmanas warned them that you will not be taken back, they didn't care. Right? Now this both act itself externally appears the same. But what makes a difference is the intention. That boy and the girl is running away is because they had some desires to fulfill. Their selfish desires to fulfill. But these yagik Brahman Patnis or the gopis ran away for what? Call of Krishna. To serve Krishna. To have that loving reciprocation with the Krishna. To enhance their bhakti emotions. That's why they ran away. So difference is the intentions. They did it for the... They followed the Krishna just to serve him and love him. So this is very well explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita one verse. Atmendriya priti vancha tarabalikam krishnendriya priti icha dare premanam Atmendriya Prithivancha Tarabalikam. The desire to gratify one's own senses is called as lust or the kam. And Krishnendriya Prithicha, desire to please the senses of Lord Shri Krishna, that is called as love. That is the difference. So action may be doubtful, but the intention when it is clear, right? That makes it clear. Immoral actions and actions by a devotee may appear on the external platform be the same, but the intentions are different. Generally, the moral principles are judged by the externals, but the Lord knows the intentions of a devotee and then He rewards the devotee. Like in Ramayana, Bharat Maharaj was doubted. He was accused of sending Lord Ramchandra to the forest. He was thought to be the conspiracy to sending the Lord Ramachandra. But Lord Ramachandra knew that he didn't have these intentions. Lord knows the intention of his devotees. And later, then we know in the Ramayana, Bharat has been glorified for his sacrifices. Same was with Lakshman. Lakshman also doubted for his actions. But we know, when the Sri Sampradaya Acharyas, they quotes, they says that the cause of kidnapping by Ravana was this, the doubt that Lakshmana was doubted. So the action may be doubted on the externals, but Lord knows the intentions and He glorifies His devotees. Like in case of Krishna Lila, Vasudev, when Devaki was caught by the hares, by Kamsa, so he's in the situation where Kamsa is about to slit the head of Devaki. So Vasudev, at that position, he starts glorifying Kamsa. Kamsa, you are a great soul. Now anyone, if he says out of context, they will say, how can Vasudev do this? You know, how can Vasudev describe Kamsa as a great soul? By any standards, that was not true. And Vasudev, being an honest and sincere king, how can he say so? So it could be concluded that the Vasudev is a liar. Right, and on top of it, when we learn that Vasudev was on a smiling, with a smiling face, he's talking to the Kamsa, anyone will get bewildered by these external situations, right? But these externals are different. Externally, he may look like he was smiling and he was saying, glorifying Kamsa, but in heart of heart, he was in utter anxiety. For what? He was in utter anxiety for saving Devaki. He was in utter anxiety for the mission of Lord Krishna. Right? He was serving the purpose of Lord Krishna. That was his intentions. Right? In glorifying Krishna or putting us that smile. His purpose was to serve Lord Krishna. So, externally, this may look like an immoral act or dishonest act. But, if you know the intentions, then makes it clear. That is a spiritual morality. So Shukdev Goswami says, at the concluding of the Rasalila, he says that if we see any apparent transgression of morality in advance of the pure devotees, we should know that their devotional status is never harmed. And he compares that to like a fire. Fire can consume anything and everything. The same way, and fire can consume anything and everything without getting polluted. Same way is the devotees, right? This small immoral act or the dishonest act in the externally, they can't put a blot on the devotees' devotional status. Their love for the Krishna is rather cannot be minimized. So Guru Gopal Prabhu in the recent Prerna lecture, he quoted Srila Prabhupada and said, great man cheat for the great cause. So these are the great pupils. Even though apparently may appear to, they are cheating, but they are cheating for the higher purpose, for the purpose of Krishna, like Vasudev, right? He was serving the purpose of Krishna. But the problem is, when this same saying, great men cheat for the great cause, that cannot be applied for us. Us means the conditioned souls like me. So, neither we are great, nor our cause is great, right? We can't immaturely transgress this morality, right? Shukadeva Goswami again says in the same Rasila Adhyayan, he says, Lord Shiva can drink the ocean of poison, but if we try to imitate drinking that poison, we will die. We will not able to survive. So we should not play with this. Right? So, there is a difference between anukaran and anusaran. Anukaran means imitation. Imitation of some external action. Whereas anusaran means following. Following what? Following the actions? No. Following the instructions. We should follow the instructions. So one time Srila Prabhupada was asked by the disciples that Prabhupada did Lord eat meat? And Prabhupada was outraged. He said, Lord can eat you also, Lord can eat whole universe also. He said, they have a desire for sense gratification. They want to eat the meat, or they want to carry out the Ras Leela, and that's why they want to imitate Lord. So then disciple quoted like, Yadyat Acharati Shastras. What does it mean? We have to follow the footsteps. Prabhupada said, Yadyat Acharati. Acharati means to follow the instructions. Where did Lord ask us to eat meat? Where did Lord ask us to do the Ras Leela? Right? Krishna ate the fire, but is he asking us to give the to offer him the fire to eat? No. Krishna is not asking us to give the fire. Rather, he is asking us, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. You offer this to me. Right? He is not asking us to perform the Ras Leela. Right? So we should know, we should follow the what Krishna has said, the instruction for us, and we should follow that instructions. Anu Saran and not Anukaran. Dharma, rather Prabhupada's quote is, Dharma means we to follow the his order. That is the dharma. Adharma is when we try to imitate Krishna. That is adharma. So the speculators or the so-called philosopher or the Mayavadis, you know, either they put Krishna down to their levels and they want to impose their mundane morality on him, and they then term his activities as immoral. How can he do this? This is against the morals, right? They want to term, they want to put Krishna to their level. Or otherwise, they want to climb up to the level of Lord Shri Krishna, right? And want to imitate the Lord. If so, the Lord Krishna has performed the pastime, Ras Leela, we can also perform the pastime, like Ras Leela. So this both ways wrong, right? Both is because of the ignorance of the position of the Lord. And that is the seed of the envy to the Lord. We want to enjoy. So their intention is not so pure. See, though they don't introduce Krishna as a supreme personality of Godhead, or they find faults with the Krishna or in his character in his Leela. Therefore, Prabhupada was very heavy on them. He always took these bad boys, and whenever the reference comes, Prabhupada, we know, he beats Mayavadis and so-called these speculators and the philosophers. He beats them for not identifying Krishna as he is and misinterpreting his actions. Why? Because their intention is not pure. They have envy to the Krishna and they have insecurity of their sense gratifications. And that's why they envy the Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, we know, Srila Prabhupada may have quoted like, you know, fools and rascals, but we can't imitate Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada also showed by his example, he was very courteous and gentle and humble in his interactions. We can follow this example of the humble mood of Prabhupada. He loved everybody. He felt genuine, deep love and compassion for others. Right? So Srila Prabhupada can be considered as an expert doctor who he knows exactly this person with this disease, whether he needs to go for a medication or whether he needs to go for a surgery. As per that patient, for the same disease, that expert doctor can make his diagnosis or make his, prescription to go give him medicines or to let him go for the surgery. So Srila Prabhupada knew exactly to whom to chastise and whom to give a proper advice or love or a pat, right? But we can't immaturely imitate Srila Prabhupada saying the fools and rascals. We should follow the humble mood of Prabhupada. So okay, if we have the right and pure intentions and we follow the instructions, we may start serving in that mood. But over a time, what happens is, we lack that intensity. Our mind is not so focused. And we hear sometimes, sadhaka saying, I am not getting that taste in a bhakti. What should I do? So actually, if you understand the taste is nothing but our contact with the Krishna. Our contact with Krishna means contact of our consciousness with the Krishna. And how does that can happen? When we carry out any bhakti or devotional service, when that devotional service, Krishna manifests in that devotional service, then our consciousnesses get connected with Him. And then we experience the higher test. But if there is no contact, right? When there is a contact with the Krishna, then our service is more pleasing to the Krishna. But if there is no contact with Him, then we will not feel that intensity. Our mind will be distracted. We will not feel that intensity. So, how can we intensify? It's not just by the concentrate and the focus that command will work. But what we need is an inner inspiration. We need to recultivate, rejuvenate our intentions. We started with the good intention to serve and love Krishna. But over a period we lost that intentions. So that's why we should revitalize that intentions. Like while studying the scriptures, why we are studying scriptures? We should ask the question. Scriptures are means by which I can absorb in Krishna. And not that I want to gain a scholarship. Not that I want to get a pat on my back that I quoted verses, I quoted, gave a wonderful class. No. We studying the scriptures for absorbing Krishna, for the service. Right? So when we clear our intentions, right, then that inner motivation becomes more strengthened. And then our intensity in practicing Krishna consciousness becomes strengthened. And we can intensify that connection with the Krishna. And then we can feel the test. So we need to go back to our intentions and rejuvenate our intentions. And this can happen if we introspect and strengthen our intentions. So sometimes when intention is not so clear, our thought processes are not so clear. Like, So sometimes in one youth setup, there was some disturbance because they were thinking of abolishing the kitchen. Now, some devotees were a little disturbed. How can we get away with the kitchen? You know, we need a kitchen. We need a kitchen. But when we got to the root, what was our intention? If there is no kitchen, what has happened? We will outsource some prasad from some devotees. From the devotee caterer, we outsource the prasad. So, if we go to the intention, what was our intention? What is our need? Our need is to take prasad, Krishna prasad. Right? Whether in this situation or that situation. So these external situations become just externals. When the intentions are satisfied, then the thought process becomes so clear. So it doesn't disturb our Krishna consciousness. It doesn't disturb our bhakti. So, we should seek always the intentions. To summarize, we discuss the spiritual life or the devotional service is beyond the logical view, which is the intellectual faculty, psychological view, which is an emotional faculty for comforting. It is not just, God is not a tool for comforting ourselves. We can't bind with the logical view. And we can't buy in the moral view too. And discuss about the difference between the morality and the spiritual morality. And the basis of this spiritual morality is an intention. That makes it different from the mundane morality. And we went through the examples, few examples, and the Vasudeva's example, that how he wanted to serve the purpose of Krishna. That establishes the spiritual morality. And then we discuss how can we understand and apply. We can't imitate Lord, but we can apply His instructions. Not by imitating, but following His instructions. And lesson what we learn is, if we lack the intensity, we should go back and revitalize our intentions by the introspections. So, that's why I will conclude. So, during this course of discussion, if I crossed any etiquettes knowingly or unknowingly, I beg for the forgiveness. Please forgive me for my immaturity. I generally speak to the youth crowd, so if my tone appears to be instructive, please pardon me. And seeking your blessings and empowerment to follow the footsteps of advanced Vaishnava. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.